Tango Mobile. What are you doing, Rusty? 10-4-8-0-8. Let's see, what did I do today, Steve? I went out and picked up a prescription that I forgot to pick up earlier in the week. Of course, I didn't need it till next week anyway. And then I went and had the oil changed in the car. And then I came by and paid on my refrigerator, or my washing machine. So that's what I've been doing. And now I'm getting ready to decide whether I want to pick something up to take home for lunch or just wait later and order something in, you know?
Hey, now I may get a little scratchy. I'm up here in Landrum headed for Hendersonville.
It was in Hendersonville that you had to go back and find it.
Went here to a hobby shop and pick up a product or two that I need. And because I can't get it in upstate South Carolina, they're out of stock everywhere. And then I'm heading on up to Arden to go to a train show.
Now, I like those, because I used to have model trains. And years ago, before I moved up here, this has been like almost 40 years ago now, I belonged to a big model railroad club down in Charleston, South Carolina. And the guy that owned the hobby shop in downtown Charleston, he had a two-story building, and his upper floor was, he wasn't using it for anything except storage, junk. So we made a deal with him. We'd clean it out. If he'd let us use it, we just paid the electrical part of what electricity we used. And we had a railroad layout up there that was 42 feet long by 26 feet wide. And then at one end of it, you had a section that was 36 feet wide because the room made an L and added another, 12 feet to the end of the big table. We could run 28 trains at one time on that layout.
Pretty nice. I just got out of the little building down there in downtown Landrum. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah. Hear you just fine.
A little bit rough down in between those buildings. Well, I'm hoping I'm going to change one of the rooms in my little man cave around, and I'm going to add 12 feet to it so that the room will be 12 wide and 24 feet long, and I'm going to use 14 feet of that 14 by 12 for my train layout. And I'm gonna get started on that probably by late spring.
Oh, you're going up. We had HO and Engage both on our layout. And for about 8 years, every year they had a fair. The Charleston County Fair was down there every year. And for 8 years, we would rent us a booth out there. And what we would do is we would build a 4x8 layout and take it out there, set it up so it could be broken down into two pieces, take it out there, set it up, run trains on it, sell tickets for it, raffle it off, and then the last night of the show, we draw out a name, and they'd get a fully built-up, layout. They have to furnish their own trains and a power supply, but we had a fully, you know, with tunnels and bridges and all kinds of good stuff that we did on it. So it worked out pretty good there.
But if you think back, the first Southern Crescent run, you know, dubbed the Crescent, was 1922, and they had a Berkshire 480, and they painted it green and put the star on the side, or rather the moon crescent on the side, and ran that from New Orleans to D.C. I think they ran it until Amtrak took over. But I have a Lionel 027 Southern Crescent 1922 Berkshire 27 gauge that I'm going to set up, and I've got the 1920s cars to go with it.
Set up, my friend. I want to come see that. And there used to be the guy that used to own the Volkswagen place here in Spartanburg. He lived up in Tryon, and he had him a big house up there. And his basement was nothing but model train layouts. Now he'd get all the, because he was from Germany, he'd get a lot of his trains and stuff. He got some of the real nice expensive stuff because they were all brought over from Germany for him and picked up over there and brought over. So he had some real nice layouts. And when he died, passed away, and his wife had passed away too, his boys didn't want to live in the house, and they finally sold that entire layout to someone that was going to take it somewhere and set it up in a kind of a train museum thing. Not around here. I wish it had been somewhere around here. But, well, that's the way it goes. Anyway, but, yeah, you get that thing set up, and I'd like to come see it. And all. But that ought to be nice. And, yeah, they used to run the Crescent Limited. In fact, they ran it till 19... It still ran even after Amtrak took over. They ran the Crescent Limited, and because it would run through, it came up out of New Orleans, and it would actually run through Greenville, Spartanburg, going up that way and on up to D.C. And I used to have some pictures that I took here in the late 70s of it coming through, and all my pictures got destroyed with rainstorm that really tore up my building and got everything in it wet. So I lost those, and I had about 60 pictures of that thing as it came through town, and I had a chance to get some real nice pictures of it because I had talked with somebody and they had made arrangements for me to actually get on board the engine and everything and take pictures there too. W2 T-Mobile.
K4VWA. Well, let me tell you what I ran into at Smithsonian up in Washington. My wife and I are going to the museum up there, and I hear, you know, where they've got, you've seen the General up there, haven't you?
I've seen it before it got moved up to there, but I've seen it before, so yeah.
Okay, well, as part of that area, they have, well, I was walking through there, and I'm standing looking at the General, and I hear, all aboard. Next stop, Spartanburg, Greenville, Gaffney, Gastonia, and then Charlotte. All aboard. And I'm going, good Lord, what is that? So I go traipsing around there, and guess what they've got sitting there restored in Smithsonian? 1922 Southern Crescent Steam, 480 Berkshire.
Now, one of these days, I'm going to have to get back up that way and see. It's been years since I've been to D.C., so, I'm going to have to get up there and see what I can take a look at and visit up there. I'm about back to the house, and you're starting to get spotty, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3s, and enjoy your running around up there in the rain, because I'm sure it's raining up that way, because it's starting to rain, getting heavier here as I get closer to the house, so I'm sure you'll be seeing some of it as you go along. Anyway, talk to you later, Steve. You have a good one. KN4VWA, W2T, 7-3s.
Kilo November 4, Victor Rinsky, I'm clear.
KN4VWA, W4DJW. You still out there, Steve?
W4DJW, KN4VWA. Yeah, Dave, what's up, big guy?
Hold you long. I was just going to tell you, I looked up the name of the guy that does trains over on Paris Mountain. His call sign is N4AK, and his name is Glenn Farr, GLENNFARR, and his call is N4AK. Pretty easy to remember. I had to go to my logbook and look him up in my logbook to get that. Anyway, he's pretty big into it.
What?
Say again?
You say said he's pretty big into what?
Trains. Choo-choo trains.
All right. I wonder how old a guy he is, because I used to know a Glenn Farr that worked for S&H X-Ray years and years ago.
He's about our age, maybe a little older, maybe not, maybe about our age.
Okay, then that's a different guy then, because the fellow that I'm thinking about would have been just a little bit older than my dad. My dad would have been about 84 right now.
Well, I don't think he'd be that old, but I don't know. I could be wrong. He could look really good for his age, right? And just look a lot younger than he is. But anyway, that's just keep your ears open for Glenn Farr in 4AK. And if you ever get the opportunity to go look at his setup, you don't want to miss it.
Do you know him? And you've seen his setup?
Say again. You're kind of scratchy. It might take several transmissions to complete because you're getting in and out of shadows. Okay, I lost you. I'm not getting anything now. W4DJW.
You ought to have me again now. I was down in a shadow. I was just barely getting you. You know him and you've seen his setup?
Yeah, I went over there and got a Telemaster from him, a big airplane. I was telling you about it out of the field. He's the one that had that big Telemaster.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to see the setup. Matter of fact, one of the guys with me here in the car right now, also went to Eastside, Bill Wilcox. You may have known his younger brother, Bob, or the other younger brother, Richard Wilcox. He's big into trains also.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I knew one of them. I think it's Richard. One of the Wilcox. I remember them. or at least the one that I knew that was close to me. Anyway, mental note, N4AK, that's an easy call to remember. Glenn Farr.
You still received me, right? Yeah, I'll remember that. N4AK, and I'll try to snag him on the radio.
Okay, he's a big AMer, so if you ever listen to AM radio, he's got a big AM radio station. He fixes radios and repairs them, brings them back. Old radios, turns them into brand new radios. I'm talking about really old radios, turns them into brand new radios. He's really, really good. Anyway, you're real scratchy, so I'm going to let you go. KN4VWA, W4DJW, clear.
Right, appreciate that, Dave. KN4VWA, clear.
4DJC.
Hey, Jerry, did you get the pictures I sent you?
Did you reply? That thing is wild looking. That's a lot better photo than I found online. Man, that fuselage is it's tall and thin, and I was surprised at the size of the rudder on it, too. That thing's got a huge rudder compared to the other control surfaces.
It's like a flounder that lays on its side, and the one eyeball rotates around the other side of the head. It's like a flounder. It's just flat. I mean, like the fuselage would be a wing, could be a wing that flies lengthwise into the wind. So, I mean, it's just weird how it works. But when he goes knife edge and stuff like that, it's not like leaning like a normal airplane whose nose is up and the tail is down because the rudder is holding it down so that it'll fly knife edge. When he's flying knife edge, he's going straight across the sky. You can put a level on it, and the bubble would stay in the middle if the wind didn't blow it away.
I'm curious with those counter-rotating props is, I guess the first question I had when I looked at it closely, I mean, those props are huge, but, did you get the impression that it would fly at a slower speed and still maintain, you still not stall, or is that just me hypothesizing?
Well, because of how big it is, the bigger they are, the slower it looks like they're going in the air. I don't know if you've ever noticed, sometimes you can look at an airliner when it's coming in, and it looks like it's just hanging in the air. It's not doing anything. That's the way this one is. Sometimes it looks like it's just up there in a bowl of molasses, like the air is completely transparent molasses, and it's just up there, going through its motions very, very precisely. But or it's on a transparent roller coaster. rail. That's what it looks like. So, yeah, absolutely. It does look, the loops are really slow, but the upside of a loop, he did a figure eight yesterday with two enormous loops in the figure eight, and it was a vertical figure eight, not a horizontal figure eight, not like an infinity, like an infinity sign standing up on its end. And the speed never changed from the downside of the loops to the bottom of the loops to the upside of the loops to the crossover to the upside of the other loop, across the top, down the first loop, across and down the second loop. The speed was the same the whole time. Before he gets flying, though, he goes out there and he stands out there at the runway for a while, and he's moving his hands. He's got his eyes closed. He's moving his hands, and he's mentally preparing himself for the flight. Because sometimes it's such a long thing, it's such a long routine, sometimes he misses things. So that's why he's out there. He's out there to practice.
A lot more questions. Based on what you mentioned yesterday, the day before yesterday, the counter-rotating props, he controls those independently then. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say 100%. I'd say it's more like, I don't know that he has control over them. I think they can rotate independently. Like one can, he's got 30% braking that he can put on it, whatever that means. He can bring the prop to a dead stop and actually start to spin it back the opposite way. I think he can do that, but I never was 100% clear, and I didn't want to just keep on asking him questions after questions. But I think he can use it as an air brake. That's what he said. He uses it, and when he's using it as an air brake, it's popping in the air. You can hear about, like helicopter blades, when the tip of the helicopter rotor blade starts to exceed the sound barrier, it starts smacking the air, and you can hear it popping really loud. It's the same kind of thing.
That's interesting, and that makes sense. I was just curious whether it was something there's some control inside the, I call it avionics instead of servo stuff. But I guess there's something in that the way the motors are. You know, it must have a clutch or something that makes it able to do that. I guess I'm not. This is just way out of my league as far as seeing anything like that before, knowing how. I'm intrigued to know how the thing operates. It's just it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I get the impression it's got like planetary gears or something like that. Like one of them's gonna rotate at some speed, and the other one's gonna do something at another speed, and he controls the one, and that controls the other, or something, or like differential in a car. If one tire starts slipping, the other one can, or not, unlike positive traction, where if the inside wheel is spinning real fast, or going around the inside of a curve, it's going to make the outside wheel spin really fast, or the inside wheel spin really fast to keep up with the one to keep up with the other. I get the idea they're kind of locked up with gearing, kind of like that. You probably do some research with Google, RC counter rotating props, and there's probably somebody that's got a YouTube out there. I'd look it up on YouTube and see how that works.
The whole concept is just so far out there compared to what I've seen in the past. The kind of rotating prop thing is it seems like that was something that they used on helicopters at one time years ago. I remember one helicopter I had back in the early 70s had a, it didn't rotate, but it had like a, had one prop that more or less, It was almost like a freewheeling prop to help stabilize it, and then the other one was the power, more like a standard prop on an RC plane. But the counter-rotating thing is certainly not anything new, but it's, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that on a pattern plane.
Yeah, and it's all there just to keep the... I don't know if you remember when you were getting your pilot's license, but the part of the written test was knowing what the P factor was. And the P factor is the swirl of the air that comes off of the prop that goes around the fuselage and twists the fuselage, making it want to go in one direction when it takes off, depending on which way the blades are rotating. He has none of that. When he takes off, he's got a constant stream of air that's just pushing backwards. It's not swirling around. And that's why I think that's the main reason for the counter-rotating props. Probably has some other benefits too, but I think that's the main purpose for it.
Probably so. And the other thing I noticed is the size of the fuselage, the cross-section of it, maybe that's why that probably contributes to that as well. And I imagine that's why the rudder is so much bigger than, it just seems large to me compared to other planes. That's probably why the rudder is so large too, because you'd have to have a larger, I guess you'd have to have a larger rudder to control the yaw, I suppose. I don't know if aeronautics are correct on that or not.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. It's so stable with three wings and a huge, thick fuselage, it'd be hard to get it to turn with yaw, right? Roll, not bad at all. Pitch, not bad, because that's going in the direction of that huge fuselage out the skinny part, so it's not much to push against there on pitch. So roll and pitch, pretty easy. But yaw, you're presenting the broad side of that huge fuselage into the wind stream, and it's not going to be too happy with that. I think you're right. I think that's the reason they have to have such a big rudder.
Different than the other one I saw. The other one that I looked at online was, you only had two main wings, and this one's got three. I could tell how big it was. That's a big plane, and that thing is tall. When you said mid thigh, that thing is, I mean, that's tall. It's got long landing gear on it. But the wings appear to be. Yeah, the wings appear to be fairly short. Is that proportionally? Is that what you're seeing?
Exactly. They're on the order of something you would see on a rocket rather than something you would see on an airplane. Rockets have, or one of those cruise missiles, have little short stubby wings. And that's what this has, like little short stubby wings. They don't stick out far, but they've got a long cord. So they do help to, they do provide lift. And the thing is probably a lot lighter than it looks. Once you start looking on the inside, I think most of that you see on the fuselage is covering. And it's covering that doesn't, like, stretch and cave in between ribs. It's like, I don't know what kind of covering it is, but it doesn't, it might be fiberglass fuselage. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You can tell a lot of thought has gone into it. And he's like, he doesn't come out there to have fun. He comes out there to practice. He's like all business when he's out there.
If you're flying a $3,000 or $4,000 plane, you better be all business. That's definitely a rich man's hobby if you're out there playing around with it. But I was going to ask you about the cover. It looks almost like a fiberglass, but fiberglass would be. I guess it'd probably be too heavy unless it's real thin. But I'd be curious what the cover is. I'll dig into it some more and see what the cover may be. But I didn't. You know, I thought it just maybe that the fuselage, you know, just has some interior you know, bulkheads or something, and it may give it a little rigidity. But other than that, I didn't realize it was just a. But you say it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like a. Doesn't look like some type of polymer. Film or anything like that then.
No, but when he had the front of it off so he could put the two 5,000 milliamp hour batteries in it, which is a lot of battery, right? That's a whole bunch of battery. When he put those in there, you could see down the inside of the fuselage. It was illuminated inside there because light was going through the wall on the fuselage. So it was lit up inside there. You could see it. It wasn't like it's dark, like on my Tiger stick or something like that. You got the wing off and you look down the fuselage, it's black. You don't see anything because there's no light getting through. Whatever that's made out of, it's letting light come through.
I'll have to find out what that stuff is. The whole concept just really piqued my interest in it because it's just so far out there compared to what we've seen in the past. And I imagine that thing flies pretty fast, too. It may not seem like it's flying as fast, but I imagine that thing will fly. I mean, Well, I don't know. I mean, you have to, it has to fly a certain speed to be able to complete the pattern in time, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big pattern. That figure eight that he did, he's probably pushing the limit on the 400-foot rule.
He didn't have any onboard video or anything like that?
No. No, I didn't see a camera or anything like, no FPV equipment or anything like that on it. Just pure airplane, radio, electric motor, counter-rotating props, that's about, and servos.
I'd love to see it in there sometime. Maybe I can get it there when the weather's up. After we got this little touch of spring that kind of spoiled us for the last 3 days, now we got to go through another 10 days or so of semi-winter weather. Maybe when it clears up, I can pop on out there when you guys go out there. Maybe it'll be out there. I'd love to see that thing fly. And here, too, since it's electric, it's still got a lot of power if it's running, you know, that much battery. They're telling what kind of motors that thing's running.
Yeah, I was doing a YouTube search on that, and I haven't found it yet. That might be fairly new design. I see other people might get hits off Pandora, but it's not that Pandora.
The other one I saw didn't look. This one, the one that you took the photographs of at the field, is a lot different than the other ones I saw. The other ones that I looked at only had two wings instead of three, and they didn't look as deep. I mean, you know, top to bottom, they didn't look as tall as fuselage wise. And then it looked, the cross section wasn't as narrow either, I didn't think. At least that's what the ones I actually saw, I didn't get good angles on them like you did. I could tell a lot more about it with your photos.
It was, yeah. The things that I'm seeing that are on YouTube that are close to it aren't really that close. When he picked it up and carried it out of the field, I don't know if you've ever been by the Coors Light Silver Bullet, the jet, Coors Light Silver Bullet. This was not that much smaller than the Silver Bullet. You know, the Silver Bullet's smaller than a Volkswagen. It's a whole lot smaller than a Volkswagen. Well, this thing is probably closer to the size of the Silver Bullet, which is a full-scale airplane. A man gets inside it and flies it, right? It's got its rear nozzle is only 3 inches in diameter, and that thing gets upwards of 400 or 500 miles an hour. This is about that big, about the size of the Coors Light Silver Bullet. A little bit smaller than that, not much.
Really big. It looked almost like one of those large scale planes, or maybe even quarter size, but it's bigger than that. I mean, it's just, that thing is huge. You gotta be really serious about things to have on one of those. And of course, I'm sure the guys who really experienced pilot flying something like that as well. I'd be scared to fly to that kind of, you know, fly that kind of money.
Yeah, when I was flying helicopters a lot, I had some serious money tied up in helicopters, and I crashed. And I decided, you know what, that's no fun. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to scale it back, because I know they're going to crash, and I'm just not going to put that much in a crash anymore. It's that was one of those hard lessons learned.
When those I think it was MRC, when MRC came out with that glass version of the Jet Ranger. That thing was, gosh, Dave, I don't remember exactly, but it seemed like, I think it was around $800 back then. That was a ton of money, you know, 40 years or so, maybe longer ago than that. But that thing was a beautiful chopper when it was built, and the guys that flew them, you know, did a good job with them. But sooner or later, something's going to happen to them, I guess. Because I think it was a fiberglass shell, if I remember correctly. It was heavy, too. But I think it flew a... I think you flew with a 60, but maybe not. But I'm sure the ones that they're flying now a lot more advanced than that is. But I guess whenever I get back into it, I'm gonna stick to the multi-rotors. It seems like a little safer, not quite as expensive.
Exactly. So to put it in perspective, I remember back in those days when I would look through RC Modeler, I guess it was, there was two, Model Airplane News and RC Modeler. That was the two that I was subscribed to. And I'd look in the back and I'd find the publication for pattern planes. And I remember them costing around $1,200. And I thought to myself, because I was at the age that you buy cars, and I had used cars, dune buggies, that kind of stuff, and I was looking at a brand new, I just got a job with Michelin, I was looking at a brand new Z28, I think it was, or a Trans Am, and they were about $6,000 or $7,000, and everybody thought that was just way too much money to spend for a car. And this airplane was $1,200, so for the same cost as a brand new car, six of these would cost the same thing as a brand new car. And that was just crazy to me. That was just, who would pay that much for an airplane? Just to get perspective on it from 1970s to now.
I remember I didn't get the first Chaos I got, I think it was a 40. I didn't get the 60. I got the 40, and that was not a real expensive setup for those. I mean, by the time you got the bill correct, and I was lucky to have a guy that had one of those. I can't remember who built the jig, made that jig, had the jig to get the wing, get all the wing stuff straight and dihedral in correctly. But it was a guy that ran a hobby shop there in America's had one, and that thing saved me a ton of anguish trying to get the wing, because it was always hard for me to get the wing straight. The dihedral, and make sure it didn't flex wrong, and putting that solar flex on it, or I mean, it just, it'd go all wanky. I mean, having a good, you know, when Bridie started, I think it was Bridie started making those kits were easy to build, and it was kind of a step above, but I think those kits were, seemed like they were $60 or $80 or something like that. Might have been more than that, but somewhere in that range. And you know, that way you could have maybe, you know, with everything together, you might have $600, which is $700. It's still a lot of money in those days. But $1,200, you know, that was a whole lot more. I've been out of my range.
Yeah. Recognizing Daniel. And then I went up to Oshkosh with a couple of friends here in Greer. We started flying up to Oshkosh once a year, and we went to Byron's Originals up there, and we went to the meet that they had over there, the full-scale fly-in. And over there at Byron's Originals, they had some scale planes that cost more than a brand-new car. And sitting out there in the center, where the center stage was for Byron's Originals. I don't know if you remember that. And I just shook my head. I do not know how people can invest that much in a radio-controlled airplane. But they were doing it, and they were beautiful models. I still have some pictures somewhere around here. They were gorgeous. I mean, they looked just like the real thing, and they were like quarter scale or larger. Days gone by. Go ahead, pick it up, Daniel, W4DJW.
Daniel here, and I'm kind of in and out of the repeater because I'm in Seneca on 123 on my handheld. But anyway, I was wondering, if you're into drones and stuff, would you be able to point me in the right direction with starting off? I'd be interested in getting one that's 1080 or maybe takes 4K video.
Well, Jerry's been doing a lot of research on it lately, and he's about to get into it too. The thing that would give you the highest success rate probably would be one of the DJI packages that has everything in the package, and it uses your smartphone and its controller in combination to let you see what it's seeing while it's flying, and that's going to give you the highest chance for success. But it's not cheap, right? Jerry knows the prices of it. You probably want to get what's called a Fly More package that comes with it. And you do have to get an FAA registration, right? And there are certain places you can fly, and there's other places you can't fly. So it will take some research. And there's a lot of YouTube videos that teach you about that. And you'll want to watch those videos. Otherwise, you can get slapped with a fine if you do something wrong and not even know you're doing something wrong. So you've really got to, there's a lot more rules than there used to be. So you got to know the rules. And then, even though you might like building, like I like building, just getting started with some, there's so many things that can go wrong. If you purchase a DJI kit that's got everything in it and it's ready to fly, then they remove a large quantity of those variables so that your success ratio goes up a whole lot higher. Go ahead and pick it up. Jerry, he said he was in Seneca and might be in and out.
Yeah, Daniel, I've been looking at them for, I've looked at them for probably a year or so, but not having anyone locally that I knew that had made good information on what worked and what. And I started discussing them, and I decided that when I got one, I was going to get the DJI Mavic Mini 2 Fly More package, which gives you three batteries. They're around $570, so, I mean, they're not cheap, but just got everything really you need. But, Dave, I did notice it doesn't come with prop guards on. That's another $20. But that looked like the best option for me. Plus, it's under that 250-gram weight for recreational flyers. It avoids some of the other, as long as you don't, I think, you know, Dave's right, it's either monetized or not monetized. And if you don't monetize it, don't do anything outside of recreational flying. That's probably the path of least resistance. They're small. I mean, they're tiny, but they have a lot of features, and all the ones I've seen, are, you know, the video coming out of them is great, and it's an expensive starting point. That's a starting point where I felt like I'd have a lot more success than I would if I tried something bigger or tried something smaller that didn't have some of the features that the DJIs have.
Go ahead, Tom. I think Daniel's in a low spot. He has been for a little while.
I just wanted to break for a second. I am not invested in anything like that, but Jerry, the Costco's had a thing yesterday, and it was a Mavic Mini, and it was under 250 grams, like you said. And it was $339.95. Just thought I'd throw that in there in
0TR.
Go ahead, guys.
Cool. I got some of that on my handheld, but I'm tired of going down these holes and losing the repeater, so I swapped over to Echolink. But I'm on Echolink now. It just takes me a moment, obviously, to key up. So just keep that in mind, but I'm here. So what were y'all saying as far as price point? Starting wise and all that, and Dave, I heard you saying stuff about FCC and FAA regulations and this, that, and the other, and I didn't catch all that for certain, but I'm interested in that kind of stuff as a hobby. I just know nothing about it.
So what Tom was saying, he saw a deal on the Mavic Mini. There's a Mini and there's a Mini 2. The Mini 2 took lessons learned from the Mini and modified it a little bit, made it a little bit better. But either one of them is as good as the other. The thing is, don't plan on going out and buying anything without doing any research. That's the key. And then the second thing is, they may have one for $300 at Costco, but it may not be everything that you need. Right? So you need a flight controller. And it may not have it. And maybe they're selling the replacement flying machine, the airframe, for somebody that had a flyaway, and they've already got their controller, and they've already got their batteries, and they had a flyaway, or they flew it into the drink and ruined it, and they just need that piece of it to be replaced, and that's why it's $300. But you'll need the controller, which uses your smartphone, and a connection to the controller, which is about as much as the airplane. Right, the multi-rotor, and you'll need a few more. If you only get the cheapest, and you only get one battery, then it charges with a 5-volt USB cable, which takes about a half a day to charge, and you'll get about a half-hour flight with a half a day's charge, and you're not going to be happy with that, right? That's why Jerry's getting the Flymore package that goes with it. It lets you charge up three batteries, and you can be charging batteries while you're flying, so you can do continuous flying rather than one day fly once or maybe twice a day at most. So do some research like that, because there's hundreds of different combos. There's, if you put it in the drink and you need just the multi-rotor by itself, that's one price. If you need the multi-rotor and the controller and the Flymore, that's a different price. Right, if you make sure it works with the type of cell phone that you have, smartphone, because it uses that to visualize the information that's being sent back to it. And then look online and study about what do I need to know. Right now, the landscape is changing dramatically for RC flying. So you need to do some research on there. And once you hit a couple of videos, they're going to tell you about other videos, and then it's just things are going to start coming together. But there's just a whole lot of information that you got to dig up, unless you go buy one of those $40 multi-rotors, right? If you take it outside, a slight breeze will blow it away. That's something totally different, but that's not really RC flying. That's just, yeah, I mean, they fly. They work halfway good, but they're not anything for any that you would use out, that you would take out, you'd make a special trip to the airfield to fly, that kind of thing. W4DJW.
Dave, this says it's a DJI Maverick Mini Aerial Camera Bundle. Normally $389, it's $50 off until the 28th of this month. Includes charging base, an extra battery, compact and portable, 2.4-mile flying range, extended flight time, and a stabilized gimbal camera. Without going into more about it, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
It could be that if that's the Mavic and the Mavic Mini and not the Mavic Mini 2, that they've got some Mavic Minis that they need to get rid of. So they have a kit, right, that you can get a lot cheaper than a Mavic Mini 2. Right, that's a possibility too.
Yeah, it's just labeled DJI Mavic Mini Aerial Camera Bundle, and it's got 4.4 stars on the recommendations.
Let me make sure I got it here. Yeah, I think Amazon's got the Mavic Mini Flymore Bundle for about $450, which is only about $100 or so less than the bundle for the Flymore bundle for the Mini 2, and just looking at the differences, I would say just where they're going to get the Mini 2, so it's just later. It's a little bit newer model. It does have some features the other one doesn't have, but I think it's about six, right at six, straight from DJI. It's like $568 from Amazon. Sometimes you may see a deal on them, but it's probably the best seller, I guess, the Mini 2 is right now. But yeah, but the regular Mavic Mini, you can buy it for around $340, but it's just got the multi-rotor, and it's got the controller and one battery, I think, is all it has, Dave. At least that's what I saw on Amazon, $339 or something like that. But $449 for the bundle. But like I said, I think I'd just go ahead and go for the... If I'm buying one, I'm going to go ahead and get the Mini 2 when I get one, just to get the latest version.
Hopefully I've got it right now. Dave, I was wondering, do you know anything about 18650 batteries? I have a whole bunch of them. They're rechargeable lithium-ion batteries. 18650 has to do with the size battery that it is, but I've got some high-end ones. I did a lot of research before I bought them, but I've used them for all kinds of different rechargeable devices. It's a pretty common battery, and the ones I've got pack a punch, and since I have so many of them, I figured I could get a lot of flight time by charging them in bulk overnight, because I have bulk chargers for them, and then fly it during the day and stuff like that. The disadvantage is these are relatively large batteries. They're between AA size and C size. But I have a bunch of those batteries, and if there's a drone that takes them or controllers that take them, I think that would be a good way for me to go as far as that direction, because of the amount of charge time and the amount of use time I get out of them on one charge.
just giving it a little downtime there so I don't time out the repeater because I get kind of long-winded when I'm explaining things. But, Daniel, yes, 18650s are the same batteries that are used in the Mavic and the Mavic Mini 2 and a lot of them. They're used on a lot of things. They're used in my lawnmower, right? I've got an electric lawnmower. They're used in there, too. It's just a whole bunch of them. They're used in a lot of things. The thing is, it's very important that when you put them in series that they are charged the same amount and they discharge at the same rate. So they're paired up. They're inside a plastic case and they're called a smart battery. They're two of those. And they're paired together and they're monitored on both the charging and the discharging inside this plastic case. They've got a whole bunch of leads that go into it and they've got some smarts inside the Mavic that's monitoring how they're doing as they're discharging. They got smarts inside the charger that's monitoring how they're doing as they're charging up. If they ever get too far apart, they're not going to let you fly with those. It's also logged how many times you've charged them, which charger you charged them on. Right? So that's also, they've got logs of that. Two of them cost $60, two batteries. Right, inside a case will cost you about $60 because of all of the monitoring that goes on to make sure that when you're up in the air, they're not going to die on you. Right, so it's not like you just pop a couple of 18690, whatever they are. I've got a whole stack of those things too. I've got the kind that are flat and discharge at a very, very fast rate, and the kind that are that have the head that pops up and they charge at a slower and they discharge at a slower rate. 18650s. So I've got about 30 or 40 of those batteries, too. I used to use them when I vaped. I don't vape anymore, but there are a whole bunch of them sitting around. And it's a shame that you have to pay $60 for two, but what you're not paying for the battery functionality, the capability. You're paying for the guarantee that it's going to come home, right? And the battery is what's going to bring it home. So, yeah, you could do that. You could get into a totally different kind of flying, too. There are people out there, RC Test, I think, is a guy that just does his own thing. He doesn't care what other companies are doing or anything. He's out there to learn, and I'm a lot like that, too. I've never bought a DJI piece of equipment myself. My wife went and bought me these, and I'm happy that she did because they're fantastic. They're really, really good, but I wouldn't have never have bought them myself because that's just not the kind of aero modeler that I am. I like figuring it out and getting the $10 flight controller and programming it and figuring out how all this stuff is working. So it's just up to you, Daniel. You could do it yourself. You could figure it all out yourself. It's a long, hard row to hoe. It's a long, hard row to hoe. I'm telling you ahead of time. Or you can just go buy a canned package that works. W4DJW.
Peter, time out, please.
Where'd it cut me off, Daniel? Okay, good. Then it didn't stay timed out too long. I knew I was getting close. I overdid it.
I just wanted to let you know I'm pulling in the driveway. Hello to everybody. See you later. Bye.
See you, Bob. Good to hear from you. Daniel, did you get all that?
Yep. I think a little bit of it. You, as soon as you ended your transmission is when it timed the repeater out and cleared the timeout. It was absolutely perfect. Couldn't have done that better if you tried. But I got everything. And I have a whole bunch of those batteries because of two reasons. One, I used to run ridiculously bright headlights on my bicycle so I could ride all night. It was as bright as like the high beam headlights on a BMW or an Audi or any of those brand new cars with super, super bright headlights. I was running those on my bicycle, wanted to be able to ride all night because the lights were so good. And so I had to have massive battery packs on that bike, which weighed a lot. But they were filled with 18650s, and I also used them on my vape as well. I don't vape a lot. I just vape occasionally. KJ4WZM. I just vape occasionally, and more of a. I've just been experimenting around with them and trying to learn about them and stuff like that. I don't know the. It sounds bad to say this, but I've always been fascinated about the differences between different types of coils and different mods and how they respond and everything. Each mod acts differently, each coil acts differently, and I could tell you a whole lot about what I've learned from those. But I don't vape nearly as much as I used to. I just do it occasionally. But that's another use that I've had for the 18650s. But anyways, it's a lot of interesting stuff. Battery technology is, well, you could spend a lifetime trying to learn about it and never finish. There's so much to it. But that's a very interesting stuff about the drones, and I had suspected that's what would be used because those batteries are so common in so many uses. Cars, lawnmowers, vapes, drones, lighting for battery-powered lighting, and all kinds of stuff.
Well, one thing I'll recommend, Daniel, and if you can commit this to memory, RC Test Flight, RCTESTFLIGHT, all one word, RC Test Flight. This is a young guy. He's probably your age, or maybe just a little bit older than you are. And he puts a whole lot of YouTube videos out there. I think I've watched every one of them from many, many years ago, all the way till he's still putting them out. Anything you want to know about, flying solar planes to the new FAA rules that allow you to follow the plane while it's flying because you've got a spotter the whole time so you can fly long distances with it. This guy's good. He's a young guy. I follow him. Everything that he publishes is all one word, RC Test Flight, RCTESTFLIGHT. If you can remember that and go just get hooked on his videos, you can learn a ton. And I better get out there and start working on doorknobs or I'm going to get in trouble. W4DJW.
Dave, I can definitely look into that. We'll let you get back to work. I'm heading into Greenville. I'm coming back from Seneca. So, long drive down 123. I went through Clemson a little bit ago. I'm coming up on the Liberty exit now. But I still got quite a while to get back to Greenville. But good talking to you. Thanks for telling me about that stuff, and I'll be sure to look up RC Test Flight, all one word. I won't forget that. So thank you very much for the pointers. I haven't gotten into it yet because I haven't had the time or the money, but I'll be getting closer to that in a little bit. Just trying to line me up some new hobbies and of things to get into. Great talking to you. Let you get back to work. KJ4WVM, thanks for coming back to me.